Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Pum-pum, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Jingle bells.
Luke Moore's here.
I come bearing frankincense.
And Pete Donaldson.
See you tonight, Santa.
Probably about time I point out that we're doing another show between now and Christmas, and this isn't a Christmas special after that intro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Park the bus, park the bus, park the bus. Park
Christmas
it up.
Bus.
Yeah, park up the Christmas Santa bus.
Mm.
That's what he's delivering
as
his
the
presents
saying
in.
Goes.
I did enjoy that.
Rudolph's driving it.
Is he?
Mm.
No way.
Beeping
his red nose.
Beeping his red nose like a horn.
Did you hear about that story?
It's not a Christmas special. I don't know why we're doing this.
Did you hear about the guy who used to drive the Manchester United team bus, who was apparently a Man City fan and used to drive their bus as well, was so integrated in the team under Ron Atkinson, he'd be making the plays like cups of tea and stuff at half time and all the rest of it. And Alex Ferguson, when he took over, was just like, who the hell is that?
It's the bus driver.
Running a tight ship, old Big Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure about some of this man's methods.
How is it even possible to be both team bus drivers at the same time?
I don't know.
Are you suggesting they shared a bus?
Share the bus.
What I would say is that Ron Atkinson in a blue short-sleeved shirt would look like a wonderful bus driver.
He would, actually.
Yeah, he would.
Very bus driver-y.
Yeah. Is that what he's doing now?
Yeah. But I don't know.
I mean,
bus
he'd be
drivers,
like... Sorry. He'd be a bus driver on like a tour of the Costa del Sol, obviously, because of that tan.
Really tanned with some like really rough prison tattoos.
Like the guy from Coach Trip.
Yeah, very much
yeah.
so.
Mm. Yeah.
That could be Ron's future.
If United and City shared a bus with the same bus driver in the 80s, was this?
It would have been, yeah.
As Jim said, was what Man City on top deck and Man United on the lower deck. Being the naughty boys up on the top deck.
That's right. Did they have to arrange the fixtures around that?
I'm not. Top deck.
As you can tell, I don't really know that much. I've told you all I know.
Hello, is that the FA? Yeah, we can't do those games because we share a bus driver. Yeah. I don't think that's possible. That would not be the case.
And if you're saying it's the Premier League, it was the FA back then. Luke Moore is correct.
Thank you very much. Nothing if not old.
Mm. Indeed. But let's move on to the Premier League, gentlemen, where Manchester City, they won again. They won for the 16th time in a row, hammering Spurs.
Getting boring now, isn't it?
Yeah, if they win their next three matches, they'll equal the best ever winning run in league football. 19 consecutive wins by Bayern Munich between October 2013 and March 2014.
Nah, records of that would be broken, Marcus, and they've smashed at the pieces.
My goodness.
And then posted the pieces to their families.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Mm.
Demanded a ransom note or not? Say, give us the ransom or we're just going to keep winning.
Well, I think it's a ransom trophy, isn't it?
Ransom is the trophy. Okay, right.
No, the ransom would be whatever you do, you have to be attacking with it, otherwise Pep shouts at you.
Fair.
Attack that Christmas dinner, madam. So, yes, the Manchester City players were videoed singing Park the Bus, Man United in the dressing room. And Mendy was involved. Yeah. I quite like
Benji
all this.
Mendy, cheerleader, yeah. Still getting involved, like still it. Having a positive influence.
But do you guys think...
Jumping up and down on his bad knee or whatever it is.
This is a conundrum for me because... If Pep Guardiola knew about that video, do you think he would have let him do it?
No.
So exactly. So how has it got out?
It's social. An interesting one.
Right, yeah.
It's very difficult to sort of keep every channel under wraps, isn't it? But I think, you know, regardless of what their internal process of dealing that will be, this tunnel thing has backfired so badly on Mourinho because the City players are just, they're taunting United now.
I don't know if it's backfired because on the face of it, they were brilliant before it and they're still brilliant after it.
Yeah, but I think City just... They just seem to have the edge, don't they? They just seem to have the sort of... In this row.
They're absolutely dicking on them.
That's what I mean. And
there's no edge here.
But the whole point of Mourinho doing that was to try and take some of the sheen off of it. And they've just gone, all right, we'll just... But what we're going to do is we're going to put a lot more sheen back on top of it. So we're going to shut your noise. I mean,
we're going to Charlie Sheen you. That's what we're going to do.
This is six layers of lacquer. This is like too much.
Yeah, and then we're going to lay a bit of Santex over the top of that. Yeah. Just so you don't slip up on it.
And then we're going to put a big, massive trophy on it at the end.
it's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, the way they just dispatched Spurs 4-1, I know Spurs aren't in the best of form, you could suggest, but...
And Spurs were without two of their best defenders, in fairness.
Yeah, but still.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not suggesting
well,
the
Man
result
City
would have been
without one of theirs.
Yeah, and they were very different
promises. And they were out David Silva late doors as
of
well.
Of course,
late
as well. Doors.
Played on, you know, Mangala, who's had a bit of a, you know, renaissance under Guardiola, which I don't think anyone expected.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's an important point because... We talk pretty regularly about the amount of money that Man City have spent, but we also try and temper that by saying he improves the players he's already had at his disposal as well. Mm-hmm. Now, Mangala, you probably wouldn't have listed as an example of that, but as Jim says, I mean, he's come into the side, he's done well, and they're still winning, they're not losing games. And if you look at some of the other players he's improved as well, I don't think you could argue against that. I think one factor I quite like is that City only picked up 10 out of 30 points against their fellow top six sides last season, which obviously you would argue cost them. This season, of course, that they've been fantastic against everyone.
They've beaten them all.
Of course, it is really important to be consistent because Liverpool, on the other hand, struggled against teams that they were expected to beat. So the key is this consistency across the board, which they're absolutely delivering. And it's not just that they've got good players and they've got an expensive squad. It just seems to me that they want to be brilliant all the time.
Absolutely.
The intensity is what's impressive.
And that's Guardiola's intensity as well, which he manages to get across to these players. And he wants scholars of the game playing for him, if you know what I mean. He doesn't want Ibrahimovic types who make it all about them, you know, which is quite clear. But
they seem to have an amazing team spirit, don't they? Yeah,
absolutely. Well,
he instills that everywhere.
You know, that showed it. Yes, Jim, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, like they... Guardiola wants to be elite, doesn't he? As you say, in every single thing that they do, and that is in every area of the game during every minute of it, and that is an intensity that a lot of people don't even think to aspire to. That
do you think
what I mean? It's all about just getting the results over, but he wants more than that.
Do you think he has elite social skills?
Well, apparently, in terms of getting a team spirit together, perhaps he does. He does come across as being a bit of a kind of strange one in interviews, as we know. But, I mean, look at the spirit he fosters at all the clubs he's been at. You know, obviously, he's doing something right that we're not privy to.
He's not there to host dinner parties. He's there to win medals.
Quite. And
he doesn't need to write rhymes. He writes checks.
Indeed, yeah. In contrast, Spurs under Pochettino won once in 18 away games to the top six teams. I mean that is consistent, but it's unwanted.
Yeah, that wasn't the consistency I was referring to.
They lost their heads a little bit, didn't they? I mean, Otamendi was lucky to get away with that kick on Kane, but Kane and Ali as well could both have seen red.
It was a rip-roaring affair.
It was.
Spurs had a bit of a spell when they were 1-0 down. That's the best you could say about them, really, and City sort of dominated in specific, particularly in fullback areas, but you're right, there was some absolute challenges in there.
You said obviously they went 1-0 down. I'm thinking to myself, you go away to Man City, you know what they're capable of. Keep it tight. Don't concede a header from a corner to Gundogan. Come on, you know.
I just think England are coming in form at the right time.
and you're right, Pete, because you're absolutely right, because immediately after that goal, there was a bit of a sort of debrief, shall we call it, in kind terms, between Harry Winks and Eric Dyer, and I was thinking, probably going to see that next summer. Probably going to see that sight next summer.
How are they going to drag the Man City English contingent down? Has Raheem Sterling given Gareth Southgate a headache for his World Cup selection, Peter?
I think his life is a constant headache, to be honest, mate.
He's given him a Nurofen, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well,
nice and easy.
Yeah. Raheem Sterling, I know England don't play the same way that 16 wins in a row Man City play. But
let's talk about England.
But Raheem Sterling absolutely needs to play in as close a role as possible.
Well, if England play a sort of a 3-4-2-1, he can play in one of the two.
Mm. Well, quite. You know? But he needs to, I think there's been a temptation to play him more centrally, and I don't agree with that.
He's got license to sort of drift at the moment.
One of City's goals against Spurs at the weekend was absolutely irresistible, by the way. It was fantastic. The one that Sterling finished off was absolutely beautiful. And of course, the last goal that Spurs conceded was the last one with Dyer, should have cleared it, and he didn't.
Yeah, and Lloris led it through his legs.
I was really disappointed with Dembele. I thought he struggled badly. He looks so slow. I don't know what's happened. He's only 30, so slow. And Ali has been good in the Champions League, and I think he was good on the opening day against, did they beat Newcastle on the opening day, and he scored. Other than that, I've not seen him do very well.
No, it's maybe a bit of a come down for a young player. We do fall into this trap of expecting that if a young player hits this level, that will be their baseline and they will always improve from there. But you know, it's harder than that, isn't it? When you got those games under your belt,
it's a good
you
point.
Feel it in your legs as well.
He's 21, so maybe he's overdue a bit of stagnation. But there's been a lot of talk of him off the pitch, going to different agents, looking at different things, and you know, maybe that's a factor. I don't know, but City. I mean, let's not take anything away from them. They are absolutely fantastic.
Remember how important Aguero was to that team?
Yeah.
That was just like, we'll take you along if you want.
Hook you off for a laugh.
Yeah. Get your round of applause. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's very true. Better news coming out of the Moussa Dembélé camp is, of course, that he owns a hotel in Antwerp. I think it's going to be opening fairly soon. It's called the Golden Shoe.
I'll see what he's done there.
Archaeologists found 18th century porcelain glass pottery and tableware worth around £1 million on the premises. So
some guys get all the luck.
Money is attracted to money, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
seems that way.
Money makes money.
So yes. He must be happy with that. Presumably he'll be showcasing them at a local museum, bringing more trade into the area.
Yeah. Or eBay.
You know,
it's an indirect consolation for Spurs fans there.
Very indirect. Very, very, almost like a flight from London to Singapore via
New York.
Greenland.
Yeah.
That's how indirect it is. But, you know, speaking of these players and teams' performances against the top six, I saw this earlier, which I thought was quite interesting. Presuming it's true, I'm pretty sure it is. The most effective players in terms of goals and assists versus the top six, four of those players are City players. Mm. De Bruyne, Jesus, Sane, Aguero, the other one's Mo Salah, as you probably imagine.
Yep.
That tells its own story.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised David Silva's not in there.
He's not, mate.
Given how effective they've all been. It's just ridiculous.
You're well within your rights to be surprised, Jim, but yep. I'm not going to change it.
Can't change the fact. We can't change the fact that Arsenal beat Newcastle at home with a wonder goal from Mesut Ozil.
Yes.
Jimmy and Petey were there.
We were there, Pete, and I've got a bone to pick with you. Because I was sat quite near the away end.
Right.
And your lot, and you are a representative of them, were basically singing
through the whole game.
Put you off.
Which, I mean, it's just uncouth, isn't it? Like, a bunch of rowdy fans are singing on the train. You don't want that. It's intimidating. Why is that any different in a stadium?
Were they singing Jim Campbell is a wanker?
The Arsenal fans. The Arsenal fans seem
I
did hear a Hartlepudlian accent singing that, actually, amongst the noise.
Can you hear me, Jim? I've just had a vegetable burrito. The game's gone, mate. The game's gone. I did have a vegetable burrito. It was very enjoyable.
Pete,
the only enjoyment I got.
Speaking of business as usual, Newcastle, another defeat.
Out of nine?
They're in the rally.
They're in the rally zone. 1.9, that's relegation form, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they're literally in the relegation zone.
Ten wins in a row against you now, Pete.
Good.
I don't think enough was made about how good Mesut Ozil's goal was.
You don't think enough was made?
I think a little too much was...
Really?
Have you seen it from two different angles?
Because
I saw it live, I saw it with two different angles. One angle, it looks obscenely good. There's another angle where you go, at least put your fucking hands up, Elliot.
When I saw it, I just...
Big fat
I just
mess.
Thought, surely that's gone on the roof of the net and rolled. No, I mean, he actually scored that.
Yeah.
And seeing it back, he's actually moving backwards as he hits it. Yeah, which is, I mean, I can't do that walking.
That's why I made my original point. Admittedly, I've just realised I haven't really consumed much football media over the last couple of days. So that's probably why. But the reason it's so good is because he almost predicts where the ball's going to drop and no one else does. That is one of the finest examples of a intelligent player being one or two steps ahead of everyone else that you're likely to see.
Remember when Cantona scored that goal in the FA Cup and he had to sort of dig it out behind him. I mean, it was more spectacular than that, obviously, but he really had to dig out from behind him.
He doesn't actually drill it that hard though, because he's kind of a second ahead, as you say, so it's taken Elliot by surprise and he's just kind of looped it in. It was just brilliant. He had a fantastic game. It was excellent.
And it's either Yedlin or Lascelles is doing spins because he's where the ball's gone. Where's the ball gone? If it's Yedlin, where's the ball gone?
Oh, Rob has it again.
It's okay. Rob's gonna fuck.
And Arsenal still not conceding the title because it's another win under their belt.
And why should they?
No, exactly.
Arsenal did their very best to get Newcastle back in the game.
You say that, but
my
Newcastle
word.
Only had two shots on target. That's not the narrative I took from where I was sat.
Well, if they'd both gone in, they'd have won 2-1, Jim.
Last 20 minutes, the Hossley was winning everything in the air. And something he wasn't doing in the first half, which I didn't really understand.
I think that might have been the Arsenal defence's notorious kindness.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I thought Wilshere played very well.
He did have a very, very good game. He's very direct for a lot of drive.
Well, that's what I mean. He picks up the ball and he turns and runs.
Well,
it's something that teams need. Arsenal can be a bit slow when it comes to... They don't hit you on the break as much. They pass it around too much and they don't punish you like that. But he's a lot more direct.
He has got that transition in his game. Wenger said what he needs to get back into his game a few months ago is that little burst where he just, you know, picks the ball up, suddenly he's away. And we saw a lot of that. And that's great. I think I would like to see him and Aaron Ramsey start together. Maybe see what Wilshere does in place of Xhaka in the future, and I'm sure we will get to see that.
Well, that'll probably do Wilshere for another season, won't it?
Yeah,
that'll get him in the England squad.
But the match was sort of saying, "Oh, you know, he's tackled his demons about his injury and fitness." I'm going, "Has he?"
Yeah, I mean,
how many games
very
he
early
played?
To call
three
that.
Games, three starts, one start, something like that. I don't know.
Did you, Marcus? I know that you liked Arsene Wenger's comments about Mesut Ozil.
I did, yes. Well, where Wenger was asked about whether Ozil will stay, and he replied, "I'm confident, yes, but what does that mean? I don't know."
He also said this week that Man City have petrol and ideas.
Wow.
And
we have ideas but no petrol, he said. Right. That's what Wenger said.
Sounds like a man about to make a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah. I think you'll find that Man City have petrol.
I've got petrol and ideas, I'm going to burn down my brother's house.
But the Wenger thing is, he said they've got petrol ideas. If you are going to copy, if you can't copy one aspect of Guardiola's management, presumably you're pleading poverty. Mm. Why don't you copy the idea of improving the players you've already got? It's an idea.
It is Arsenal are 1 point off Liverpool in fourth, eh?
Yep.
It's going to be a rum old battle for top four this season.
It is.
Because any team, with the exception of Burnley, you would say any... And you could even argue Everton fall into this bracket given the money they've spent. I know they've had a difficult time of it, but they've picked up and they had ambitions at the start of the season. Any team in around that area who doesn't finish in the top four has a right to be really disappointed, apart from Burnley.
Quite.
Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs, even Leicester, who've won the league recently, and Everton, they're all really looking for the top four.
It's crazy to see Spurs in seventh at this time of the season.
Yeah.
I wonder what's happened there. They've lost a few games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, sorry. I mean, they haven't got as many points. I'm really enjoying what's happened. But yeah, I mean, Man United are an interesting point in this because, you know, no one will publicly concede the title, but, you know, it's Man City are obviously going to win it.
But if
how do you
won
keep
that
motivated
match, how,
for second?
If they'd have won the derby, though, that would have been such a different kind of situation, wouldn't it? Because it would have been,
they didn't come anywhere close to doing it.
No, I know, yeah. I know, but if they had.
If Newcastle won all their games, they'd be top.
Yeah, I enjoy.
Would they? Well, I'm really excited. What? What bizarre world is that happening?
It's strange, isn't it?
Certainly not this one.
Speaking of Man United, did you see Louis van Gaal, his comments about Manchester United? Well, he mentioned that he'd probably not go back into management now. So he's sort of kind of announcing his retirement. Mm. But then he said he'd make one exception. If a big club in England comes for me, I would do it because then I'd have the chance to get one over Man United.
Not shy, is he? Oh, Louis.
It's not going to happen, Louis.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I do as well.
He was digging at Mourinho last week as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
He was saying that they play more defensive football. I think the quote was, what United produce now is defensive football. I always played attacking football. The proof is that the opposition were always parking the bus. Using Mourinho's own phrase against him there. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Oh, Van Gaal. How we miss ye.
I mean, what sort of big club in England is he going to get?
Well, exactly.
And if he gets the interview, he's going to say, to be honest, I'm motivated by the idea of getting one over Man United.
Yeah. Do you know that Man City are the best team, head and shoulders, at the moment? Yeah. No, we're after Man United. Yeah.
This is a different battle.
I don't care if we come 19th, because United come 20th.
Okay, we go for it!
Yeah.
All right. Newcastle might settle for that.
Speaking of ex-Man United managers since Alex Ferguson, eh? David Moyes.
Oh.
David Moyes.
He's turned the West Ham ship around.
What a win for the ferryman. I never doubted him. Never doubted that he could get back to his Everton glory days.
It's incredible. The match was delayed by an hour as they were trying to find the light switch or something like that.
Yeah.
Stoke City are on
for
the
David
drop.
Moyes' enthusiasm.
Wow. He doesn't need it, mate. He's got it now, hasn't he?
Has Moyes turned the lights out of Stoke City's time in the Premier League?
Well, it almost looks like what Moyes has done is simply told the players what they need to do, which was apparently beyond Slaven Bilic.
Let's
talk about this on the radio last week. People were saying, you know, Moyes, he's done such a good job since he's come there. They're actually running.
Yeah.
Right? And that is management 101. What you need to do, first thing you can, I think, no matter how precious players are these days and how much player power rules the roost and all the rest of it, I still think as a manager, you can get away with in your first training session saying, right, gather around. If you don't run, try as hard as you can, you're not going to play. Yeah. Don't care who you are.
If I go on FIFA, is your next to your name, is there a D, an M or an F, right? Do one of those roles and you'll stay in the team, you twat.
But under Bilic, That part of it, the running, that's the optional bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't look, if you want to try a few flicks and tricks in the opposition sort of final third, you know, try a bit of X Factor, fine. That's an optional thing, right? Running is not an optional thing.
I think with Bilic, he hears that the best teams walk the ball into the back of the net.
Yeah.
And he's sort of taken that a bit too literally.
Could it also be, being maybe slightly less facetious, though that's less fun, could it be that if you don't know what you're doing, what's the point of running? You don't know where you're meant to be running to. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If you're completely clueless about what the tactics are, you're effectively waiting for someone else to do it.
You're just knackering yourself out for no reason. One of the players that Moyes highlighted when he went there was Marko Arnautovic. Mm. And Moyes, he's clearly one of the most talented players in terms of attacking flair in that squad. And Moyes was like, right, we need to get performances out of you. And he was right to identify that. It was an obvious one. But Arnautovic seems to be repaying him.
Well, yeah, but if you can motivate Arnautovic...
you've got a very good footballer.
Like, you know, obviously, he was clearly motivated by playing against his old club there. He absolutely loved that. He was all action everywhere. The fans were getting on his back. I think what West Ham need to do is maybe start some sort of troll farm just for Arnautovic, for fans of every club they're about to play. Just mug him off all week on Twitter and he'll be so fired up. By the end of it, it'll be brilliant.
I found Mark Hughes's comments quite interesting because Arnautovic obviously scored. He'd been given a lot of grief by the fans and then gave the sort of West Ham salute kind of thing, which I do think that, yes, footballers should be professional and don't rise to the fans, blah, blah, blah. But I also think if you give it out, be prepared to take it. He's got his right to reply. Right.
And I'm about three seasons bored of Mark Hughes now. I wish he'd just go away.
Yeah, well, he might, Peter.
He only brings misery.
Yeah. Say goodbye with a wave.
I think he's got a good chance of losing his job.
Yeah, I think he does.
They've got three out of the next four games are winnable. Home to West Brom, away to Huddersfield, home to Newcastle. In the middle of those three, they're away at Chelsea, which you'd think would be a bit of a free hit for them. But the problem with free hits for Stoke under Mark Hughes is that free hits don't just extend to them losing, they extend to them losing badly. And when they can see a lot of goals against good teams, which is never a good sign, I think they're going to, you know, as much as part of me is like, oh, you shouldn't really talk about people losing their job. But on the other hand, they're so wealthy and they get another job anyway that it's generally fine. But I think I'll be surprised if we're this time next month talking about Mark Hughes still as the Stoke.
There were chances of Hughes out.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Was there a bit of irony where Hughes was moaning about Arnautovic's reaction? But when Arnautovic was subbed off, Hughes was giving him a right piece of his mind, and I thought to myself, "Well, you haven't covered yourself in glory there."
It's the same incident, isn't it? He's talking about.
He's always moaning about.
Yeah, he does pop off.
Shake hands and make up.
Never his fault.
Really nice to see West Ham play with some urgency and on the front foot. We've not seen that much. Did you see Moyes' explanation of Lanzini going over for the penalty? Said cheating. He didn't dive. I think he went down with fatigue. If anything,
no, he didn't dive. He just had a massive stroke. He's fine now. You can't check.
He didn't dive. Jimmy, he was just eating the grass.
Yeah, he's been charged by the FA, by the way.
Has he? Yeah,
for deceiving a match official.
Well, yeah. And he did. And that, I mean, you could say that changed the game. I mean, the fact is, West Ham went on to win 3-0. Although the game was 1-0 for a little bit, but there we are. Stoke are in trouble, and it was a great win for West Ham. We're going to talk about Roy the Boy after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
Time for correspondence with Pete Donaldson, everybody.
Good point. It is time for correspondence with Pete Donaldson. We're going to do a bit of a two-parter here, Luke Miller, I do believe. Well, we've got highlights of the week, but we've also got one or two emails. I wouldn't mind piling through. Oliver makes the point that he says, sometimes I come across a cultural artefact from the past, and I think, how the hell have I not heard about this before?
Is this Moussa Dembélé again?
This is definitely something the Ramble should have been across. Otherwise, why do we pay our licence fee, he says.
Right, okay, so he's calling us out for not
he's
being
calling
across
us
something.
Out for not being professional.
We can't cover everything.
I know. It seems that Alex Ferguson appeared alongside Eamon Holmes in a celebrity edition of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He had Brian McClair as his phone a friend.
Great!
Which is incredible. Do you want to hear a bit of it?
Yeah. Yep. All right. For some reason, this feels really Christmassy to me. Yeah.
What was the name of Tom and Barbara's cockerel in the TV sitcom The Good Wife? Was it A. Trotsky, B. Rasputin, C. Lennon, or D. Stalin?
Any ideas, guys?
It's not going to be Stalin, is it?
No.
I'll go for B.
Just have a guess at that. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Chalky.
I think it's Rasputin.
Nine. Yeah. Eight.
I'm going Rasputin.
Did you ever watch that?
I think it's Lenin.
5 seconds.
Maybe 4 seconds.
No, okay, I can't give you that.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Oh, yeah, thanks for nothing, Brian. Brian. I don't know what year this was, but you're on the bench next week.
He should have phoned. They should have given him Roy Keane's number instead of Brian McClay's.
Yeah.
That Roy Keane.
If you do know the answer, get involved.
Yeah.
Or have you got the answer there, Pete?
Well, no, I don't really want to turn the sound up again because I'll muff it up like I did. In the stuff we just edit it out. Oliver, thank you, Oliver, for that email. If you want to get involved, shortthefootballramble.com.
Do you want some highlights of the week?
Let's have some highlights of the week.
As per last week, Carl Chester Marsden won his Toshiba TV. There is going to be another Toshiba TV, 55-inch 4K TV, dished out courtesy of our friends from Toshiba for our favourite highlight of the week. Toshiba offers you the chance to watch every football match in 4K picture clarity. Thanks to the TV's pinpoint sharp resolution, no detail, no flick or kick of the ball will ever be missed. Enjoy 24/7 access to a whole world of online content, including catch-up TV and on-demand services such as Netflix. With this TV, you can also access last week's shows on demand with Freeview Play. Mm. For an authentic audio experience, it also comes with a subwoofer to project that bass sound. Don't just hear, but feel the roar of the crowd. Here are our highlights of the week. I want you guys to help me out with choosing your favourite so I can dish out a 55-inch TV from Toshiba to one of them. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Let's feel the woof of the listeners.
First up, Ryan Doherty. Oxlade-Chamberlain sorting out Coutinho in the post-match interview this weekend, probably the second most worthwhile thing he's done this season for Liverpool, aside from his performance against them for Arsenal. Did you see that?
I did see that, and that's harsh on the Ox.
But he did well there, didn't he, in the post-match?
He did well, looking after his teammate,
yeah.
Even though his teammate didn't... Yeah, anyway.
Warranted.
Here's one from Daniel Greenfield. He simply says... Thanks for your message. I'm now out of the office with limited access to training facilities until Tuesday, 2nd of January. Thanks, Troy Deeney.
That one. Strong gag.
What have we got here? Chris Smith. Delia hopefully selling more Christmas cookbooks so Norwich can sign a half-decent striker in January. And I'll finish off with this one from Steve Bewley. My highlight of the weekend was my three-year-old son finally wanting to sit down in his Spurs shirt and watch the game with me. That seems scarred for life now. So who do you want to go for? Do you want to go for Ryan Doherty and his Coutinho point, Daniel Greenfield with his Troy Deeney, or Steve Bewley with his Spurs-related one, or Chris Smith talking about Delia?
Go on,
Greeno, I reckon.
Greeno, yeah. Daniel Greenfield.
Daniel
Greenfield, you're going to win a Toshiba TV.
Congratulations.
Email us with your details, show@thefootballramble.com. Congratulations.
Yeah, go on. Happy Christmas, sir.
Happy Christmas, Daniel.
Well done, Danny, baby.
Yeah.
Marvellous stuff. Peter.
What?
Are you ready to move on to the Premier League?
I'm ready
Is
to
it
move
Roy
back
the boy?
Into the Premier League. Roy the boy.
What's this, Marcus?
That's Roy the boy riding again.
Here he comes. Riding again. Roy the boy.
Absolutely. Wanted alive.
He's a cowboy. On a steel horse. On an eagle he rides. And he's wanted.
Imagine him riding
specifically alive.
Him riding an eagle like Daenerys Targaryen and her dragons. Roy on the top of it.
Can you imagine him in the garb as well? And the plaits.
Absolutely.
Charlton fans trying to punch it, can't get near it.
Yeah.
He wants to be a cowboy, baby, with this kind of performance.
They were bloody brilliant.
They were.
He's got them on the go, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they were on that historically terrible run at the start of the season, but this is now their longest unbeaten Premier League run. He's turned it right around.
Exactly.
What's he doing next summer?
Yeah, that is a fair question.
Saving us.
That is a fair question. I mean, yeah, parachute him in. Moyes and Hodgson doing very well. British managers are
back. Pardew not doing so, quite
no,
so well.
No, he's gone under the radar on this damn show.
I know, yeah.
And you know, that's your fault.
Yeah.
You're the Pardew correspondent.
I was going to say, Peter, nobody ever tells you not to mention him. Yeah. So if you want to pick up the slack there, please do. Palace out of the relegation zone in 14th place, unbeaten in 7. Mm. They got a lovely win at Leicester, of course, after I tipped Leicester to kick on now.
Yeah, but I tipped up Watford.
Yeah.
Although I did say Stoke will get relegated at the beginning of the season, so I'm one and one now.
Yeah.
One in the win column, hopefully.
All to play for, yeah. Palace have been very poor away from home. But I love the fact that Hodgson, after the game, despite their really, really bad away performances in recent times, he just said, well, the performance didn't surprise me. You know,
yeah, I love it.
Very,
I
mean, confident.
It was always, looking back on it now, and it's easy to after time this, but looking back on it now, it was always very likely Benteke was going to score after that Bournemouth episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And he needed that.
It's good that he did, because it shuts that right down, doesn't it? It stops it becoming a bit of a saga. It was a strange goal, that, because Schmeichel wasn't set particularly well, and it was pretty much straight at him. I mean, it was practically doing a handstand, from what I remember. It's not how you should be positioned as a goalkeeper, but, you know, he took his luck and he set one up for Zaha, who's in the form of his career.
Having a lovely time, that front line.
It's funny that you think he's in the form of his career, Zaha?
I think so,
Wow, he got a big move, didn't he, a few years ago?
But in terms of, like, the consistency of the quality of his performances.
I would agree. I think we're seeing definitely some of the best football he's played.
Well, he's a key man more than anything else to the entire enterprise, isn't he?
I mean, Palace could pick up 6 or 7 points out of their next 5 games, mm-hmm. At a minimum. They could. They've got 2 really tough ones, I think, which will put them essentially mid-table.
Yeah,
which is incredible given the start they had. They didn't get a single point in their first 7 games.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Roy, the boys sorted them out. Mm. Ndidi was correctly sent off for diving. Another one diving.
Yeah, it's a shame that, because I think I actually really like Ndidi. He's a really good young player. Yeah. I think he's got a big future ahead of him. But sure. That, he wasn't great against Palace. To be honest, they got sort of blown away by them.
Yeah, it was surprising.
It was
wasn't it?
It was probably the performance. City, you talk about every week if you want, couldn't you? But I think that was probably the performance of the weekend.
Given it was very fast paced.
It was a very,
very open as well.
Very fast tempo. Leicester have been in good nick, mm-hmm. and Palace really, I mean, they were well worth their win.
Yeah, it was a brilliant result. Sacco's goal was obviously brilliant, but it was one of those rare beasts where it was a breakaway screamer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's rare that those two types of goal combine.
I know what you mean. Speaking of great away wins, Huddersfield Town got a superb win away to Watford. Deeney sent off for Watford. Was it a harsh sending off, do you think, or did he deserve it?
I don't know.
I thought it was, you know,
bit too much vinegar in it.
I could see both sides of it. I mean, he went in very, very hard.
Did he have Christmas on the mind?
Well, he's definitely, as we've heard from our listeners, he's definitely going to have Christmas off now. I just think he got frustrated.
Yeah, I think so.
But
yeah.
The thing is, I don't know if Marco Silva places too much emphasis on discipline, because they seem to get a lot of red cards.
Well, it's third in a row, isn't it?
Right.
Troy Deeney likes to lead by example, doesn't he? So he's probably gone in there thinking, you know, we need to get into these guys more, and he's just overstepped it.
But ever since his big speech, like, he's not played very well, it seems, like, when he gave the big one.
He definitely prides that part of the game.
Was that the comments he made after Arsenal?
After the Arsenal game, yeah.
Yeah, he's not
looked great after that, has he?
Yeah, he's not played as
That'll
much.
That'll teach him.
But he's not the type of, yeah, that, I mean, with the way Silva plays, Deeney hasn't, you know, he's preferred Andre Gray at times, you know. But there we are. Hogg was sent off for Huddersfield as well, but they were 3-0 up by then.
So we spoke a little while ago about how well Watford were doing, and they were up in 8th at the time. They were 4 points off 4th back then. And we said they were in a similar position last year before, you know, things started to go awry. But we all thought, you know, they'd probably kick on. But they've fallen off a cliff again.
Yeah, they lost their last 3 in a row. 1 point in their last 15.
Well, they've lost 4 in their last 5. Yeah. You know, complacency may have set in, perhaps. I don't know. Or a team sort of maybe figuring them out, because they're a bit of an unknown quantity at the start of the season, the new manager and so on. And
but if you don't keep all your players on the pitch, it's very, very difficult.
Well, they're conceding goals. They've conceded the most amount of goals at home in the league as well. Now, I know Manchester City beat them by 6 and Huddersfield by 4, but still, it's an unwanted statistic.
They've definitely got a very sort of, it's a weird habit of occasionally getting battered at home. Mm. And the people who watch Watford a lot more than I do will be able to tell us why, I'm sure, but I'm not really sure why it happens.
Whereas Huddersfield, it's better times there after that win. Now, David Wagner said the strong belief that they can stay up this season, which is what they'll need. But he said they need 12 wins to stay up, and so far they have 6.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting marker he's put down there.
He was on Goals on Sunday this weekend. He was quite interesting to listen to, yeah.
He will be. He flipping will be. Let's talk about a home win, specifically in the Championship. More specifically, bloody Sunderland, eh?
Yep.
They won. They won at home.
We got a Facebook comment I quite liked from Craig Lee, who says, a home win should not be an annual event like Christmas.
No.
I agree with that.
Yeah, a 1-0 home win against Fulham shouldn't be...
The scenes. Yeah, the absolute scenes are amazing.
They had a lot of chances as well, Sunderland. They were really motivated by not being utterly embarrassed.
I think Chris Coleman instilled that in them. He was like, OK, I know we're struggling at home, but seriously, guys, we have to win this.
How many days did they technically go without a home win?
364.
So what's your problem?
Yeah.
See, you were right, Marcus.
Mugging Marcus off.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, ye of little faith.
No, that is far less embarrassing than going over a year.
Yeah, absolutely. At home. It's not really embarrassing at all if it's under a year,
is it? Exactly. Pete, are you pleased for them?
I thought they looked very fluid like that.
No. Were you pleased for them?
Yeah. They're a national embarrassment, so...
What about a regional one?
The region is an embarrassment.
Are you trying to get Pete beaten up over Christmas?
I'm going up to watch Hartlepool versus Gateshead. So,
oh yeah,
Steve Watson's Gateshead.
What do you think of Gateshead, Peter?
Is Brian Honor still playing? Is he going to play?
Brian Honor.
Ah, something you could learn from him.
Aye.
His surname specifically. Chris Coleman has improved things since he's been there. So will it be interesting?
They've won it on Marcus.
Well, case in point.
Yeah,
Marcus,
a
genuine question.
Yes.
Would it have been even possible for him to have made them worse?
Well, no, I don't think so. But they were getting a few points away from home. It was the away form that they've been enjoying.
To be fair, there's 3 teams worse than them in the Championship, so
exactly.
The answer, I guess, might well be yes.
That's all they'll need. Mm. That is all they'll need.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go north of the border after this.
I see Wayne getting involved. I saw him last week slapping a wrestler. I'm thinking, why is he getting involved in all that nonsense?
Well, you can get involved in our nonsense. The preview show, of course, out on Friday. How did our better get on, Luke?
He lost. Both teams to score was the only aspect of his bet that came to fruition. He, of course, had Spurs to win, which didn't come to pass. So we need someone new in the hot seat. We haven't won one for a while. The listeners need to step the F up.
They do, yeah.
Show at thefootballramble.com. Hopefully we can pour through all the emails about 12 Rams of Christmas and find a better for Friday's show.
Yeah, yeah. We need a best bet with Bet365 for them. So get involved, everybody, and win some money for charity.
Exactly.
For crying out
loud. Yeah, it's not about winning tellies, guys.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
It's not all about that. A little bit of it
is. Mainly about that.
If you can step up and try and win a telly, you can step up and try and win some money for prostate cancer. There you go. What about that?
Damn right, Luke Moore. Damn ruddy right. Now, we haven't mentioned the Scottish Premiership for a little while, and I thought, well, yeah. I mean, obviously we've mentioned Celtic's winning run because it's been incredible. It has been incredible, and I thought to myself,
I hate saying that. Yeah.
The last time Celtic lost in the league, Marcus, as far as we know, at time recording, was roughly around the time Leicester were crowned Premier League champions.
Yeah, that is incredible.
I think the more impressive thing has been how they've managed to translate that into the Champions League.
Have you got an update for us, Marcus?
I thought to myself, let's just, for no reason at all, look at the Scottish Premiership from the weekend, and there was a particularly magnificent performance, isn't there?
Just look at his face.
That's what happens, Brendan. That's what happens when you come up against the magnificent Gyorgy boys when they're on form.
This time.
Very specifically
this time. They play them a lot this season, don't they?
Yeah, well, we can talk about Newcastle's form if you want, Peter. Or do you want to talk about wins? Let's talk about that.
Is there an impending Celtic takeover? Is that what's taking the wind out there?
Is Mike Ashley coming in with a bid? Celtic's upbeat run came to a quite magnificent end, of course, against the Hearts. They lost 4-0. Now, Celtic have scraped one or two draws recently, so the wheels were beginning to come off, but then they were torpedoed by Edinburgh's finest.
It will happen when you come up against Hearts generally, because, I mean, I'm just looking back at the last few results between the two teams. Celtic 3, Hearts 1. Hearts 1, Celtic 3. Hearts 1, Celtic 2. Celtic 4, Hearts 0. Hearts 0, Celtic 5.
Yeah.
Celtic 2, Hearts 0. Celtic 4, Hearts 1. And then we come to Sunday.
Yeah, you're only as good as your last one.
When, as Marcus said, the wheels fell off and then it got torpedoed. Mixing all kinds of images.
No, it just got destroyed. Take the wheels off, torpedo it.
You can torpedo.
Push it into the water.
You can torpedo things from the sea to the land.
Yeah.
There you go.
Brush up on your military happenings, all right?
Were there bees involved?
It was Hearts' biggest win against Celtic for 123 years. And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it gives credence to the song and the line of the song, "Some say that Celtic and Rangers are grand, but the boys in maroon are the best in the land."
It's often the league table that said that, though, isn't it?
You're wanting to recognise the league table system, Jim.
Yeah.
I mean, look, 69 games unbeaten. 69! It goes down in the history books. He couldn't get to 70, though, could he?
Sorry, Mark. No. Jim, is that something Wenger can see at the Scottish Premiership? After seeing Hearts.
Why would he? Yeah. Let's assume he hasn't.
Yeah. he didn't want to, but he dedicated a lot of his press conference to it after seeing that Hearts performance.
It was the first time in 76 domestic games that Celtic failed to score.
69!
Their defence is as strong as the old Castle Rock, the Hearts, and it was that day, let me tell you. Craig Levine said he watched how Anderlecht had dealt with Celtic. He was beaming.
Bet he
after
was.
The, he Which was I can't Steven even Willie really beaming, Craig Levine, I tell you that much. Yeah. Oh, dear. Any more for any more? 16-year-old Harry Cochrane, eh? Man of the match, Peter.
A hell of a finish from him as well.
Oh.
Was he not born in like 2001 or something?
Well, if he's 16.
Would have been, yeah.
Yeah, great.
A goal odyssey.
Yeah, when Celtic lost their last match or something like that. But to be fair to Rodgers, he was right. He talked about the honesty of the group. And I thought his reaction was
dishing
quite...
out envelopes in the dressing ground. Dressing gown? Dressing room.
In his dressing gown. Why in not? His dressing room.
To be fair to Rodgers.
Are these Christmas cards?
What he said was actually some managers might have started blaming this, that and the other. And he said, you know, Hearts were the better team, blah, blah, blah. But he said, you know, our achievement there should be recognised. And it's true, actually. Yeah. You know, they're going to lose sooner or later. 4-0 was particularly heavy. But again, if you come against the big guns. But
it's quite often how it happens, though, isn't it? Teams really do collapse after a big winning run because, you know, it's become this psychological thing.
Yeah, indeed.
And coming against the big guns, another mixed metaphor there.
Do you think you're a metaphor watch, are you?
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
I just like the idea. pictures of you doing that to a gun. That's all.
Shut your head, Peter.
Pete, have you not been listening to this show for the last 10 years? You've been on it. You've been on the fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly. I start believing in ghost stories like last week.
Are you predicting Celtic to fall short of the title now?
Well, the Dandies are hot on their heels.
They are. They got a good win as well at the weekend. Yeah, they're well on the way.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for me to win something. It's going for Glold.
It is time for you to win something, going for Glold. When they're going for Glold. You had a week off.
Yeah, we did.
You had a little winter's break, so...
we're not the Bundesliga.
Yeah, you can get involved, can't you? This one goes from Andy Mina. Thank you, Andy Mina. You have not been mean to me by coming up with these
What does it all mean?
When I was at the Newcastle match, I met a lad who listened to the Ramble, and he said how much he enjoys Jermaine Genesis' Friday night fun quiz.
Genesis is an absolute disgrace.
Outrageous.
Although he does look quite stacked, he could probably beat us all up.
Yeah. I was born on the 30th of January, 1981.
Stop. Brian McClair.
No way.
1981. In Belo Horizonte.
Oh!
Suddenly. Stop.
Adriano.
No.
Good guess.
Thanks. Mm.
I have one goal in 8 appearances for my country.
Stop. Maxwell.
He's played more than 8 times. Yeah, oh, Maxwell. Yeah, sorry, I was thinking of Maicon.
I was thinking of Maxwell, the singer. No. I made my debut for my country against England in 2007.
Stop. Cicinho.
Incorrect.
Ooh, nice one.
But nice to hear his name.
Come on, boys. Get involved. Stop. Grabs. It's up for grabs now.
Silvinho.
No.
Oh, good one.
No.
I'd be older than that.
I left Brazil as a 21-year-old in 2002 to move to Sweden.
That's going to be tough. Yeah. That's tough.
Stop. Frank Howell, who I've made up.
Frank Howell?
Big Frank.
Big Frank.
Do you remember Big Frank?
Big Frank Howell.
I didn't know he played for Brazil.
Marcel Frank Howell.
The geezer from down the road. Yeah.
Because the guy we got those laptops off.
He runs an ice cream shop. confusing. I was Dutch footballer of the year 2007.
Oh, stop.
Alfonso Alves.
Hang on, it was me.
I don't know what I do here.
It was
me. Give it to Jim. Give it to Jim.
Luke said stop.
I said it first. I said it first.
I'm not sure.
I was genuinely going Alfonso Alves. So.
Peter, sort this out.
Give it to Jim. I don't mind. It's all right.
I don't know. Can I flip a coin?
No, flip a coin.
I was genuinely going to say Alfonso Alves. Right.
Sorry. It was instinct.
No, Marcus, you've asked Pete to sort it out. He's sorting it out.
I'm sorting out.
No, but he's sorting it out in a crap way.
No, he's not.
You both said that. I thought you both said stop at the same time, but because Luke's louder. And then Jim just went ahead with the answer.
Yeah, we both said...
Nobody waited for me to go,
we both said
Jim.
Stop at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Jim just went in.
It was instinct.
Yeah.
Jim said stop at the same time as me, but Jim answered without being invited by Pete. So there should really be a flip of the coin.
Yeah. Has anyone got a coin?
Assuming that Luke did have the right answer.
I did.
I mean, that's... I think, yeah.
It's not a question. We don't have a three-sided coin, Marcus.
I've got a coin here.
Yeah?
There you go.
Right.
Alfonso Alves, I'm involved as well.
I'll be heads.
I think I should choose because you jump.
Yeah, all right, go on.
You're not going to have an argument about who's heads and who's tails.
I'll take heads.
Go on, be tails.
Right.
Ready?
Cheat if you have to.
Flip it on the coin. Flip it on the floor like a ref.
I'll flip it on that chair so it makes a noise.
What is it? What is it?
Oh, it's right in the corner.
No, I've got drama. Cart.
What is it? This is such drama.
Luke's heads and
Jim's tails. Yeah. That's the only other option.
And what's that, Jim? What does that
it's
mean?
It's a Jim win!
Oh! Yeah!
What a farce.
So was it Alfonso Alves or not? Yes, it was. There you go.
It was Alfonso Alves.
Some dramatic scene.
Yeah. God, controversial. I'm sorry, boys. It just came out.
That's all right. It gets exciting.
Let Harry Kane. I was going to get his shot off.
Right, can I wrestle this back before we go? Because please. I want to remind people about our 12 Rambles of Christmas feature running every day between now and Christmas Eve. Day of recording, I think we're on number 7 at the moment, which was Leicester winning the Premier League in amazing fashion. Mm-hmm. There are still 6 more to go ahead of Christmas Eve. The number 1 will be revealed on Christmas Eve, and you have a chance to submit your idea for the greatest moment or theme since we've been doing the Ramble back in 2007. And if we choose yours, you will win a Toshiba 55-inch 4K TV and have the chance to have your show recorded at some point in the new year. So do get involved. You will hear the shows if you subscribe to the Ramble wherever you get your pods. And if you aren't currently subscribing, get over there and do so you can hear them.
Somebody who won the first telly had us on the telly listening to us.
He did. He did.
Enjoying us through the subwoofer.
There's an option, exactly. Yeah. What an option.
This show is better with a subwoofer, just for everyone at home.
Easily.
You're not
easily.
Really listening to it if you're not listening to it with
Life is generally better with a subwoofer, I would say.
And us.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Alfonso Alves.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
I was going to say that.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Has anyone got a coin?
It's bye from me.
Seriously, Jim, that's the second time you fucked that up. That's a fucking disgrace. Sort your going for glove discipline out, all right? It's not good enough.
Loser. When they're
going for Lord.
You still may get slapped even though you're a woman.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
mate. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.